This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network.
TalkSport. Powered by fans.
I don't know if anybody will be watching now because it crashed and it wouldn't go live. So hopefully people have seen it that we've come across. So welcome to this week's live show. I've waited all week for that. We have another
45 minutes.
We have another seamless, well put together and professional show. Actually, no, that's next week. This week is definitely not that, as you can see. here we go again. I need to say sorry to Phil on Patreon as well, because as you can tell, I'm hosting it on my own again, so he's not getting his Tanto t-shirt as he requested. To keep me on the straight and narrow for this week, we have friends of the show, Andy and Righty. How are we doing, chaps? Are we okay?
Very well, mate.
Good. Right. Welcome to Car Crash Podcast 2.0. I don't know if that means it's going to be better or if it's going to be worse. I'm not quite sure. I've not worked out which way that's supposed to go yet.
Can only get better.
Yeah, hopefully can only get better. So we do have a bit of a running order. We have got Dave from the Shrimps Verdict to come on and have a chat about the Morecambe game coming up on Saturday, and how the season's going for them and stuff. Then once we've let him go and he can go and enjoy his evening and sit in the darkened corner after he spoke to us, we will carry on. We'll talk Colchester, Sutton, remainder of the season, and obviously the getting the rezzers. If there's any other time, then we can get something else in. How's that?
Sounds good.
Okay, so let's get...
Here's Armstrong. Armstrong, yes! Oh, what timing!
Evening, Dave. How are we doing?
Good evening, gents. I'll be honest, I expected streamers and balloons and wearing party hats and everything. I'm a bit disappointed, to be honest, but good to be basking in the glow of somebody else's promotion. So, you know, it's not all bad, is it?
We thought we'd be nice to you. We've got them to go off after you've gone. So we thought it'd be a bit nasty rubbing it into you, rubbing it in before you left. So, I'll have a bit of a chat about the game coming up. But I think first... for me, is how is the club? How is Morecambe at the minute? Because I know you've had quite a bit of off-field issues and stuff. You still got a transfer embargo on you? What's going on with the owners and stuff? I know you've got quite a bit of issues, haven't you?
Yeah, not good. Not good at all, to be honest, at the moment. It goes back a very long time, the best part of 2 years. I'll try and summarise it in 30 seconds best I can. The club has been for sale since September 2022. The owner is a gentleman called Jason Whittingham. He's the majority shareholder as part of a company called Bond Group Investments. They also owned Worcester Warriors Rugby Club. Do a quick Google of Worcester Warriors and what happened to them. It's quite a sorry tale. The club's been up for sale. There was one particular buyer who the owner was very interested in selling to, who can't prove that he's got the funds to facilitate the purchase and satisfy the EFL about the source of his income. So that's fallen by the wayside, and it's just dragged on and on and on. It got to the point last summer, we got relegated on the last day of the season back into League Two. We had two great seasons in League One, got relegated on the final day. We only had six players under contract for the following season. We had no money to get a squad together. And somehow we managed to get a squad together that's been competitive, not once, but twice. Once under Derek Adams, then he left. We then obviously lost all of our loan players and a couple of our better players injured in the transfer window. We got some more players in who have competed right up until the last couple of weeks when we've fallen off the cliff a bit in terms of the league, but off the field, not good at all, gents. I mean, you know exactly what we're going through at the moment. We need a new owner quickly, and we face a summer of real uncertainty. Really, we've got one contracted player We've got 21 players set to leave the club as it stands at the moment. And that's quite the rebuilding job, isn't it? And that's against the backdrop of we are currently under a transfer embargo due to a matter with HMRC as well. So, not great at the moment.
Wow. That's as long as hopefully you don't fall any lower then. Because as you say, we've we're on the other side of that now with the terrible owners and everything that we've had. So hopefully, is there anybody interested or is there anything that
Morecambe as a going concern, I think, is a very good investment for the right owner. Yeah, there's no question about that. We made a profit of around £2 million in our two seasons as a League One club. But for various reasons, that turned into a £1.2 million loss at the accounts you just got. It'll probably be a similar loss, if not more, in 12 months' time. So that tells you the situation that we're in at the moment. But I think as a going concern, as a football club purchase, I think we are a very good buy for somebody. It's just finding the right buy, though, isn't it?
I mean, after you've just said there, all the problems that are going on off the field, you've actually had a half-decent season on the field because up until probably a few weeks ago, you were teetering with the playoffs and stuff like that. I mean, I had a quick look before. You're not that far away now. I think games are escaping you a little bit now, but I think after all you've done, it's not a bad effort, really.
Well, I'm the optimist. You know, at the moment, you can still sneak in there. So fingers crossed to you, Dave.
I'll be honest with you, gents. We needed to have positive results in our last two games. And we had a great Easter. We got back-to-back wins against Accrington and Barrow, and that kind of reignited our lingering playoff hopes. We'd lost four games on the spin before that. That's been the story of our season, really. Consistently inconsistent, but it's against the backdrop of everything that I've just said, really. And I think when you take everything into account, it's remarkable that we are in the position that we're in, really. We've had to cobble together a squad. Half the team have never played in the EFL before, and they're regular starters for us. So we are trusting young players and hoping they're going to come good. We've picked a couple of free agents out of the ether as well. And we've kind of had to put them all together. Unfortunately, our playoff push has sort of just stumbled to a halt, really. We lost on Saturday to Doncaster last night. Well, to Crewe, it was one of those games that had nil-nil written all over it, really. It was really windy, and if you had the wind in your face, you couldn't really get out your penalty area, let alone towards the halfway line. So it was always going to be 1-0 to win it, and they got a lucky deflection and managed to score and 1-0, and that was the end of that. I don't think 69 points would be enough. We've got three games to go, 60 at the moment, including yourselves on Saturday, of course. It would be an absolute miracle of miracles if we were to trouble the top seven now. But I think despite that, it's been a brilliant season. Not everybody who's a Morecambe fan agrees with that. They think we should be doing better for various reasons. And of course, people are entitled to their opinion. Absolutely. But I think overall, given everything that's happened,
circumstances, you know, finishing where you are is not, and you know, you might probably in fairness, not going to be in the playoffs, are you? But if you can finish just outside the playoffs, it's not, you know, for what's been happening since the last two years, you said?
Yeah, nearly 2 years, yeah. We had six players in the summer just gone after we got relegated. We would have stayed up in League One. If we'd have won our last game of the season against Exeter, we would still be a League One club now. We might have been relegated by now, but we'd have had a third season in League One. We only lost 3-2 on the final day to send us down. But six players is quite a rebuild job, isn't it? But we had to do it once. And then we've had a change of manager with Derek Adams going and Jed Brannan coming in. That's his first EFL managerial post. A complete rebuild in the January transfer window as well, with no money, absolutely no money. And to be where we are, I think every single Morecambe fan should be proud as anything with the squad. Yes, we're going to fall short. Yes, some of the performances haven't been good enough. And on our day, as I'm sure we'll talk about in a bit, then we are a match for anybody in League Two. We've taken points, apart from Wrexham, we've taken points off every single team above us in the League Two table, including yourselves, and Mansfield and Crewe and everybody else. So on our day, we can do it. It's just that consistently inconsistent that's going to cost us, unfortunately.
I've got a question for you, Dave. So I went to, had a bit of time off, so I went to Morecambe away, another wet day. Oh my God, I've had Accrington away, I've had Morecambe away, and I've been absolutely, sorry for swearing, but piss-ridden all occasions. Honestly, God, there was not a dry bone on my body. The rain actually at Morecambe was coming in sideways. It was hitting the back wall underneath the bloody...
I've never known weather like it, righty, honestly.
But honestly, God, I heard someone say that you call that stand that isn't kind of stand down the side. Do you call that the Berlin Wall?
Yeah, we do, yeah. Yeah, the Berlin Wall, yeah.
Little I don't know, namings for certain stands and stuff like that. I was wondering how many across the league have got stands like, because it's not even I saw some poor blokes, so about 30 of them over there are absolutely drenched during the game.
Yeah, it's a great view actually on the Berlin Wall because you're not too low down. If you stand at the back, you're on just a nice level. And unfortunately, it's a shallow open terrace. You know, because the Mazuma is effectively a three-sided stadium almost. But I've had many a happy time on the Berlin Wall. It's just if it rains, you get wet through, unfortunately.
Yeah, don't matter where you were in the ground that day, you were getting wet, trust me.
That was horrendous weather.
Oh, it was the worst weather, Andy, I have ever seen a game of football played on. And I've no idea how the pitch managed to sustain that much water and still be playable at the end, really. I think if it had gone on for another 20 minutes or so, it might have been in doubt, but we just about got the game done. And I'm testament to our pitch, really, for soaking up the water. But I've never known weather like that at all. Oh. And obviously it was good for us because we got a 1-1 draw, and I think we thoroughly deserved at least a point against you on that day. That's been the story of when we're on our game, we can take points against the top seven. We've done the double over Crawley, who are currently in the last playoff position. We've beaten Crewe. We've beaten Barrow. We've took points off Mansfield. There's only Wrexham who've done a double over us this season. So coming to you on Saturday, I mean, I think even if we do beat you on Saturday, it's not going to spoil your promotion party, really, is it? Let's be honest, you've got the job done, unless MK Dons can pull off a couple of 15-0 wins. I mean, you know, stranger things probably have never happened. But regardless of the result on Saturday, we can come to you and win, and it would be typical Morecambe, as I say, consistently inconsistent. It would be typical us to pull out a win on Saturday. But at the same time, we could get hammered and anything in between. You just never know what Morecambe's going to turn up on the day, unfortunately, at the moment.
MK Dons need to do the same as what Mansfield done, played about three or four extra strikers in different positions.
Might as well go for it, mightn't they? They might as well go for it because they're in the playoffs, so you know, why not?
Mansfield had that many injuries. He played a striker at centre-back and one at right-back as well.
They've played like that for most of the season, though, haven't they?
Yeah, they've just got that many injuries. So that's like play people out of position, like massively out of position. But anyway,
well, I suppose though, guys, when you're top of the table, and I mean, let's be honest, hats off to you because you deserve promotion. You know, it's as simple as that. You're the best team in the division, and you've proved that. You've won the most games. You've lost the least amount of games. So every credit to you, and enjoy League One because I think, as I said to Waggy on our podcast a few days ago, there are some massive teams in League One. You can have some amazing days out. You can put your Conference North days well and truly behind you when, you know, you're standing on a grass bank somewhere on the south coast and you think, well, what the hell's going on here? There's going to be some amazing games coming up for you next season. So, you know, every credit. We wish we were there with you.
I think that's one of my biggest bugbears, I think. When you can go to ground, you're having to beg, borrow and steal to try and get tickets because grounds can only hold 2,000, 3,000. I think that's really... And I think our system this year, I think you guys will agree with us that I don't think it's been quite fair in how it's been allocating tickets and stuff like that. Something needs to improve. But like I say, when you're going up a division, you're going to go into where you've got 20, 30,000 seater stadiums, aren't you? And I think I'm quite interested. I don't know about you boys, but I'm quite interested who's coming down from the Championship. I mean, Birmingham,
that's
not far, is it? You know, a few other teams feel maybe in a mix there and a few others. Rotherham's obviously already down, but yeah, I'm already looking forward to these. I want to get over the line like you guys, but I'm keen to go see these new stadiums and stuff.
So coming back to Morecambe then, who's your sort of danger man? Who have we got to look out for on Saturday?
I'll give her a few to watch out for. And again, this is on the caveat that it all depends what Morecambe turn up on today. So assuming that we get peak Morecambe, I'll give you a few players. Look out for our right back, Joel Senior. He's by far and away our player of the season. Played for Carlisle last year, starred in their playoff win at Wembley as well. Had a bad knee injury. Did an ACL. So I think that's why Carlisle released him. But he's been a revelation for us at right back. And he's an out and out fullback, not a wing back, but he likes to bomb on. He's got loads of assists for us this season. Crosses from wide on the right. So keep an eye out on him. He wears number 12. From an attacking point of view, we lost our main scorer who played in the reverse fixture, Michael Mellon from Burnley, Mickey Mellon's son. And he went back to Burnley. He's now on loan at Dundee in the Scottish Premiership. Can't get games on the bench every week, so that's a bit of a waste of a talent, really. But we are where we are. And we've not really replaced him in terms of the number of goals. He got 15 goals before Christmas, and that's a lot of goals to replace, isn't it? We've got Jed Garner from Barrow on loan. He might be familiar with him when he played for Fleetwood. And he's shown flashes of absolute brilliance. And he's had loads of games when he's been absolutely anonymous. I think he's got 4 goals and 1 assist in 17 games. So not an amazing return. But keep an eye out for Gwion Edwards is our main attacking threat. You might be familiar with him. He's played probably about 350 appearances for Ipswich, Peterborough, Crawley. He was at Wigan recently. And he's one of these players that he got released in the summer because he was injured. And because he was injured at the start of the season, nobody picked him up in the transfer window. And time goes on, and it got to Christmas, and we're like, he's a free agent here, needs a club to put himself back in the shop window. And we snapped him up. He's far too good for League Two. I've never seen anybody run so fast with the ball at their feet. He's absolutely rapid. So if we can get the ball facing your goal, and if you've got a good pitch as well, which will help, you won't be able to catch him. On this, and so look out for him. He wears 19. Gwion Edwards, not an out-and-out attacker. He's like a number 10, or he might play out wide on the right-hand side. So those two players are the ones to watch. And another midfielder, one of our 5 that we've got who have never played EFL football before, a guy called, you won't have heard of him, I don't think, Nelson Kumbeni, his name is. He's on loan from Bolton Wanderers. We've given him his first taste of EFL football, and he's going to be a terrific player. He's a number 6, if you will, breaking player, but he's always looking to get you onto the front foot. So those 3 players, I would say, are among the ones to watch if we are on our game on Saturday.
Which we hope you're not.
I don't think it'll matter though, Andy, really, will it? I mean, even if we beat you 5-0, you're going up, and you say, you know.
I want that title.
I'd still wear the Hawaiian shirt and put the party hat on if it were me.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, definitely. I mean, we mentioned, obviously, he was asking about our weaknesses and stuff, and we mentioned about basically set pieces or long throws. And you said you've got a guy that's got a decent long throw. Is that senior or is that a different?
Yeah, it is Joel Senior, yeah. Yeah.
Senior, right, okay.
That we will use that as a weapon. I mean, we probably play a counter-attacking game predominantly. Okay. So you'll have majority of the possession. Not quite as much as under our previous manager, Derek Adams. We are a bit more possession-based, but you'll probably have the lion's share of the ball, and we'll try and hit you with pace from deep and get it into the final. Not long ball by any means, but quick with pace, 2 or 3 passes and sort of get the ball out wide, get the crosses in. So hopefully we can get you from that point of view. In terms of our weaknesses, Waggy, we've conceded far too many goals this season from low crosses, or any kind of crosses, really, but mainly low crosses from very wide positions. We can't seem to defend when the ball's coming across our box. And okay. That's led to a lot of goals. So if you've got plenty of width, you might cause us some problems there.
Yeah, definitely have. So final one, what do you think the score is going to be? Head and heart.
Well, I think, as I said, it's one of those where on our day, we can beat anybody in this division. That's how we went to MK Dons. We were 2-0 down. We won 3-2 away from home. We drew with you guys. We've drawn with Mansfield. Done the double over Crawley. Again, that was another great away day comeback. I think my head tells me that all the momentum is with you and you're going to want the win, because theoretically, you could win the title as well as promotion on Saturday. So you're going to want to go for it. A full house, partisan home crowd, all points in one way, doesn't it? I think optimistic me, says that we might snatch a shock result, and then other results go our way, and we're just a couple of points outside the top seven with two games to play, and suddenly everybody's half excited again. So I'm going to go Stockport County 1, Morecambe 2. That will probably come back to haunt me, but that's what we've got to go for.
You've got to back your own team, haven't you, no matter what, really. So excellent.
Have you sold your allocation out?
I'm not sure, actually, Righty. Going on, we played Salford away and Accrington Stanley away very recently. So it's a similar journey. I think it's another 15 minutes around the M60. So it's pretty much near as makes no difference. About seven, I think we took about just over 1,000 to Accrington and about 800 to Salford. So I'd imagine, given that many fans think that our season has now finished, it might be a few less, but I'll say at least maybe 600 or 700, because we've got quite a large Manchester contingent in our fan base. So, 600 or 700 at least, I would say.
Nice.
Excellent.
And we'll make plenty of noise as well, win, lose or draw, because we always do on the road.
That's what we want. That's what we like. So, well, thank you very much for joining us, Dave. We will let you go now, let you get back to enjoy your evening. And we will get the party streamers and hats out.
If you could, gents, that would be great. Like I say, enjoy League One, because we had two amazing seasons in League One. And part of me wishes that we were still... part of me is okay that we're in League Two, because we've had some great wins and some great days away from home in particular this season, whereas the two seasons we had in League One were struggles, really, certainly on the road. We only won five times in two seasons away in our two seasons in League One. But there are some amazing stadiums to go to. You can have so many brilliant, brilliant days out, especially if a couple of the big, big teams from the Championship fall into League One, which has got every chance, and a couple of them stay in League One. You're going to have a brilliant time. So I wish you all the best, guys. Enjoy your promotion. And make the beers long and cold on Saturday night.
Excellent. Cheers, Dave.
Cheers, Dave.
Thanks. All the best, guys. Thanks very much. Armstrong played in the game. And a superb goal. And it's
Connery who scored it. There we go.
Now Dave's gone with his professional setup.
There's nothing professional about this, not while I'm in charge.
At what point were you having a meltdown, Waggy?
At about 1 minute past eight, when I tried starting the stream, and it suddenly went, can't start the stream, and then it just ended, and I was like, oh no, here we go.
It was a very long stream. It was just us three on and thinking, right, that's it. Game over here.
at least you came back and joined the next link. Otherwise, I'd have been sat here on my own talking to myself. I've had to have done that, talking.
Andy, we're getting paranoid thinking he's wanting us off here straight away. He's got to the Russ had already warned me. Two people in.
Russ had already warned me. So, how are we feeling for Morecambe? While we're still talking Morecambe, we might as well carry on.
I'm confident.
I'm confident. I just think they've got if it's the home games, anything to go by. They just sat back, and tried to break on us, and that's where their goal came from. And then they just had they were just seemed really organised, but weren't really too arsed about scoring goals. But I think it's going to be same and same again. Most teams that have come to Edgeley Park this year have been exactly the same. Two banks, a four or a five and a three, and just try to frustrate the hell out of us. It's just we need to figure out a way to score.
The only thing that might sort of go on the reverse of that is they don't really have anything to play for, do they? So they haven't really got anything to lose, so to speak. So they might just
play. Mathematically, they can still get into the playoffs, can't they? And it's a very, very slim. I think if they'd have got another 3 points either last night or on Saturday, I think that, you know, as you say, 2 points outside of the playoffs, they'd have been really going for it, wouldn't they? So maybe not. We've managed to get results, haven't we, in the last few weeks? You know what I mean? Like, it's like the Newport, you know, the 1-0, we waited until the 93rd minute to get that one.
Bailey's goal, last minute goal as well. Five at the end. Two big, big goals. When you look back at seasons, that's where champions are made, aren't they? Them two goals alone That's how you win championships, isn't it? So
yeah, and absolutely.
I'll talk about later, but last night as well, it's just like,
yeah. Well, we can talk about the Colchester game. That was really had to dig in for that, didn't we? I mean, I don't think it helped. As I think somebody commented on Twitter that we were playing against 14 men because it wasn't just the referee, was it? It seemed to be the linesmen that were.
I swear to God, they're going onto Colchester Street and they're going right up Main High Street and going, do you fancy reffing a game, mate? Do you fancy like a...
I thought they'd got the keeper out of the stands.
Yeah, mate. You tell her and you can have a coffee. Come on, mate. Come on, referee this game, will you?
Cup of Bovril, just hold this flag for a bit.
We've played Sunday League, haven't we, when we dragged that guy on who's just walking past with his dog. Yeah, mate, just all this line.
Running up and down the line with the dog on the lead still.
That's how it feels. It's horrible. Not to mention we're playing on the bloody cabbage patch as well. Have you seen the state of some of these pitches we're playing on?
Well
Colchester has been really bad, hasn't it?
Obviously, the pitches are generally a lot better. You know, how many games have been called off this year because of a waterlogged pitch? And I know it's been horrendously weather-wise since June last year, but, you know, the chances are, the better teams, you're not going to get the, you know, waterlogged pitches left, right and centre.
My old Andy, honestly, that pitch, it looked like a hologram. Did you see it? Like the lines were still there. Oh, my OCD was doing it. I was doing cartwheels. Oh, my word.
But yeah, I mean, the disallowed goal that Horsfall apparently, because we had a free kick literally a few minutes before, didn't we, where Byrne was marked as offside and he looked onside from, and it's not a brilliant camera angle. We're not Premier League where it's dead on or anything, but and then literally 2 minutes later get exactly the same free kick and then it's Horsfall that's offside, but it was just
I don't think it was. I had this argument last night with a few mates that, not surprised, I can argue with anyone.
That's why we put you in an empty room.
Yeah. That's why you took me out of it. But Byrne was offside again for the that second disallowed goal, but it was Horsfall. If the ball's played, he's come from behind the player before he's even made a touch. And I think the line has just gone, offside. And they do it all the time. Sometimes when Tanto is that far ahead, he must have switched off for a second, but there's no way he can be that far ahead and be onside. And then just, you know, flag it. So, horrendous. Mm. I don't know if they're any better in the next league of all, but
I find it's an easy option because these liners are not fit enough to keep up the play. Oh, no, that's offside. Isn't it? That's how I feel anyway. I think they're not fit enough to be in the EFL.
But, no. I mean, we said that coming from the National League, we thought the referees were, you know, there were some bad referees in the National League, and we thought League Two, they've got to be better. But I've not seen it the last 2 years. I think they've been worse than the National League, the average National League.
I agree with that. I think there's been about four or five that have been pretty decent this year. Don't ask me to name them, I can't remember.
I'll tell you who was the best one, the female that we had.
Yeah, Rebecca Welch.
She got pinched straight away and off she went, didn't she, up to Championship and Premier League. I think it was Championship she was refereeing after our game.
Yes,
but
she did,
She was about one of the, you know, for all fairness, you know, one of the best referees we've had at Edgeley Park. But
yeah, just fine.
They're too card happy, they're too ridiculous. The liners don't keep up with play. It's easy options to give Tanto offside. I feel like we do get the rough end of the stick a little bit. Everyone's going to say that, though, aren't they, about their team? But
yeah, but I mean, the referee last night was giving everything to them, to their big attacker that just kept backing into Horsfall or into Byrne, and he seems to be getting free kicks all over the shop. Whereas, as you say, get, you know, Wharton at the other end.
Wharton's not had the same treatment, has he? All season.
No, definitely not.
I felt sorry for actual Kyle Noyle last night. He took one hell of a match, didn't he?
He did. He got kicked up and down, didn't he?
And I was thinking, we need to keep him in bloody cotton wool, don't we, really, at the moment, with the way his head injury.
Came in a Michelin man suit so that he can't.
Bubble wrap him.
Bubble wrap him, yeah.
It's big, like sumo film.
Yeah, the sumo wear suits, isn't it? Yeah, brilliant. But yeah, I mean, the first goal, it was give Powell that much time. And I know it was a big keeper error for it to let him slide underneath him Well, he went to catch it, didn't he, sort of thing, and he went straight through his hands and through his legs.
I think Powell's actually planned that.
It sounded like the County fans were in Spain, you know, with the hour delay, because he hit the back of the net and about 2 minutes later, they were like, hey!
All those people that have been putting horseful first goal scorer all season, and then he finally gets one.
And he gets
and then he gets offside.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I think Powell struggled a little bit toward at the beginning of the game last night. He didn't quite look on it. He was a bit loose with his passing and stuff on him. I think John Kieran said on commentary a couple of times he was getting a bollocking off Challoner. But he became unplayable again, didn't he? He looked really good after that first 20 minutes.
Just took a while to get into the game, didn't he? Sometimes that happens, you know. Yeah. Long distance. We don't take things into consideration. It's a 5-hour journey. I know with professional footballers and stuff like that. Sometimes they'll be a little bit lethargical when they come off the bus. And I'd like to think they're not, but sometimes it might just take them a little while to get into the game. But he certainly did. He grew as the game went on, I think.
Yeah.
And usually it's the commentators, didn't he, John? He said that 60 minutes in, it looks like Powell's coming out, but it took Sars off. He obviously challenged and trusted in him and see the game through. And I think he's playing almost like that quarterback role, isn't he, for County, yeah, marshalling and just spreading play. And just, I know, and I quite like that, really. It's good.
But he was also one of the last people to leave the pitch, and he was still clapping right even when everyone started to walk away. He was the last one there with Challoner. Still clapping the way fans, but I really like him.
Yeah,
I really like him.
Yeah, yeah. He got a lot of grief at the beginning of the season, didn't he? But yeah, I think he's just another level above, isn't he?
Yeah,
yeah. He's one to keep. You know, keep on for the years. I think he even got up here, say if we went up to the Championship and that. I look at the squad and that, and I'm in awe of it. You know, these people are coming back off injuries and it's the level. It doesn't need much changing. I don't think, personally, going up. I think maybe the odd addition, but the team's fantastic. I just think it's a case of making sure people are fit. Now, I don't know what sort of goes into the training regimes and stuff like that, but just keeping people fit, because that's the key.
I don't think it's still mentioned. It's like impact injuries, isn't it? It's not as if a lot of them aren't getting injuries in training. It's a lot of the time it's from playing the matches, which, you know, you can't really expect, not to the level that we've had. And I think John Kieran said it the game last week, I think it was, where he said, you know, we've only got 7 people injured now. Only got 7 people. You know what I mean? It's like only 7. We've only got 7 on the injury list. That's ridiculous. I've never known a season to have so many people with injuries, but none of them have been little, like out for a week or out for 2 weeks. They've all been 6, 8, 10 weeks, haven't they? It's been unreal.
Yeah, and also it's like we're voting for player of the year as well. You're going through the list and you're thinking, well, he's been out. He's been brilliant when he's been back, but he's been out half the season. So it's just narrowed that list down to like 3, basically, haven't it?
I think, yeah, there's only Ben and Horsfall that have played over 40 games for County this season. I think there's only 3 people that have played over 30. I think Pye, Tanto, I can't remember the other one.
Madden.
Possibly Madden. Has he played 30 games?
What did you make of the penalty, by the way, Pat? This is where he brought Pye up. Because there's a bit of a weird one for me, because I saw the guy that was wrestling with Pye in the area actually wrestled Pye off balance, and Pye's then gone to grab. This is how I've seen it. It might be different than other people. It's come to like, he's looks like he's going down Pye, and he's grabbed hold of him and then end up dragging him down. And I just thought, 6-1, doesn't he? He does grab him and pulls him down, but I think he's off balance. But I don't know how other people.
So I've no idea. I didn't even know it was a penalty until John Kieran mentioned it 15 minutes later. I was like,
I don't think it was a penalty, as you say. I think it was a coming together, I don't think it was a penalty, and I think he was almost going down before Pye went into him. So
what's made it look worse is Pye had his hand on his jersey as he's falling away, and that's what's dragged him down. But if the ref had seen like the build up to it, he could have quite easily given a foul the other way. Let's not forget how good was the save. It was brilliant, wasn't it? He stood his ground. It's so brave for a keeper to stand his ground, isn't it? To see rather than guess.
We said it on the club call that, you know, normally a keeper goes one way or the other, doesn't he? Very rare that they'll stand in the middle. And it said, if you know, most of the time people start trying to get it down the middle now because they know the keeper's going to move. And as you say, the bravery to stand there and wait and just, you know, shoot straight at him. What a brilliant save. And yeah, again, that could be realistically, that's part of what's given us the championship, or what's going to give us the championship, isn't it? That's what's got us promotion. That save and Paddy Madden again popping up with a crucial goal. I definitely want to see him next season.
I want to see him on record goal scoring. I want to see him do that because it's why he signed up with Stockport to get us promoted a couple of years. In fact, Paddy Madden only lives about 2 miles from my house down here. By the way, I won't say it online, but I had a good chat with him. He was trying to get me to go and play golf with him. I was like, listen, mate, I can't play golf. Don't mess.
He's just been his caddy.
I was like, no. Can I get him to send you? But going on about Paddy, he's one of these people that you can't buy being in the right place at the right time, you know.
Yeah.
Unlike that bloke out of Die Hard, who's always in the wrong place at the wrong time, Paddy Madden's always in the right place at the right time, isn't he? And
yeah, people saying that his legs have gone and everything. He's got the footballing brain and stuff. And I mean, even if he has lost a bit of pace, he's still got a footballing brain that, as you say, he's in the right place at the right time. He knows where that ball's going to go, where it's going to be. And he scored two crucial goals in the last two games, hasn't he, realistically?
Yeah.
So,
yeah. I think he's definitely he's knocking on Tanto's door for top scorer, isn't he? So he's definitely earning himself at least another 1 year. You know, even just to have around that experience alone, because he was from League One, wasn't he?
I think we got him
behind the strikers, like he's been doing that little bit of a deeper role. He's brilliant. The link-up play is unreal. Arriving in the box late, like he did against Sutton on numerous occasions, they're just not picking him up. So, I think it's worth a shout. I think he's a brilliant bloke. I think it's brilliant to have around the change room. Must be great for these young lads to learn off of him as well. I've not gotten enough nice things to say about the bloke. I think
he's still on play golf with him.
Give him another shot.
Do you think he'll stay, or do you think if somebody was to offer him, like, say, a 2 or a 3 year deal, do you think he'd rather do that than maybe just get 12 months? Do you think they'd give him anything more than 12 months?
Yeah, I think that's something he'd have to have a discussion with his family about, and it's uprooting in it and going wherever, and it depends who's coming in. There's lots of clubs close to me. I don't need to say, you know, that they're in that sort of like non-league area, like the FC Files and people like that might be having a look at punts at him and say, thing, you know, for National League again. But
there was rumour of him going to York, wasn't there, at the beginning of the season? I'm sure there was rumours that a deal had fell through or something for him, but I mean, so glad it did, because you just need him for the end of the season, because he did the same for the National League, didn't he? He just scored important goals at the right time, and he's the first player to score a hat-trick against the same team in the league since 1930-something. So
he's the only county to do that as well, isn't it?
The only person in the county, yeah, since 1934-35, I think it was. I think county actually commented on that. But then there was a guy in the 50s, but he scored against the same team in the cup and scored a hat trick against the same team in the cup and the league. So.
Sick to death.
didn't I hear that? I'm pretty sure I heard this. If not, I've dreamt it, and that's even sadder. Didn't I hear that Paddy wanted to finish his career in Ireland? I'd
heard that, but wasn't it something to do with his missus doesn't want to go to Ireland, or is he's got an English missus? Again, it's probably only what has been written by some keyboard warrior on X or something, isn't it?
Ross.
Yeah, probably. Yeah, we can say this because he's not here. So pretty comfortable then. You think what do you think the score will be on Saturday then against Morecambe? Do you think we'll give them a good hiding, or?
I don't think it'll be that. 2-3-1.
Sorry, Rice, so what did you say?
2-3-0. I don't think they'll score. I think we'll score early on-ish, and I think 2-3-0. I think it'll be towards the end of the game. I think it'll be a bit like a party atmosphere, I think.
Recession. 2-3-0. Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, absolutely.
Fingers crossed.
It's good. I just remembered, Andy, you've got a theory about, Sutton's next result, and I'm guessing it'll be Colchester's next result as well. Go on then.
I'm obviously gamble safely, because that's what you have to say these days. But so our last four games, we beat MK Dons. Their next game, they won 5-0. Same scoreline that we beat them. The next game, we play Forest Green. We beat them 3-0. The next game, they won their next game 3-0. We then beat Wimbledon. Wimbledon 1-0. They won their next game 1-0. So Sutton are going to beat, is it Harrogate the playing? They're going to beat
Harrogate, I think, yeah.
Harrogate. Sutton are going to beat Harrogate 3-1. And Colchester are going to beat whoever they're playing 2-1. It's in the stars. And I think the odds are
Get a bet on.
Agreeable symmetry, I like it. Agreeable symmetry, I like that. Yeah,
it's just nice. It's about 370-1 for those two score lines to come in.
Is it? Have you already had a look?
Yeah, just give me a minute, boys. Just give me a minute. My mate party likes a bet. Get on that party, lad.
it only takes like for them to score a couple of goals. You need a couple of goals from Colchester anyway. But imagine 2-0 up both teams at half time. We'll be looking at that cash out.
Yeah, definitely. And again, going back to last night, Louis Barry back on the pitch. I mean, obviously, Challoner said at the end of it, he said he needed a third lung, didn't he? Because he was absolutely knackered.
Bless him. He looked, I don't know if you saw the, after the game, obviously they all went over, didn't they? It was quite nice. I couldn't really go to the game because I was having a delivery, but I brought my dad's 85, like, so he comes round to my house and I make a bit of fuss and put it on TV. And even he was like, this is amazing. Like, he says, look at this. It's quite emotional. And the lads were, and it looked at one point, and I might be wrong, but Barry looked emotional about being back, didn't he? There was a clip of him and it like it's so good to be back in the fold. Like, I can, so from a sports point of view, once you've had a bit of a layoff, I play cricket, which is a different sport, but I had a bad injury and stuff. But when I came back, someone told me I'd never play again, and I came back. It's kind of that emotional, isn't it? It's like, just so good to be back out there again. And obviously he's got some connection to the County fans that I don't think he'll ever lose, no matter if he plays for us next season or goes on to do greater things with Aston Villa or other teams. But you could see the whole team as a collective whole, and Barry as well, quite emotional. We're on this roller coaster journey to success, and everyone's riding this crest of a wave. It's brilliant to see, isn't it? And even my dad noticed. He went, wow, this is fantastic, you know. So good.
Yeah, it was really good. Really good. Do you think he'll come back next year? Sorry, Andy, you would say something else?
No. You carry on. I've been times already, Wendy, so
league above. He's familiar. He's getting the game time. He knows the manager and the players. Aston Villa know we've looked after Rico and now Barry as well. I don't see why we can't have that partnership with Villa and say, listen, come on, we'll have another season over here. if in January you don't think it's working or you think you move to a higher level, we'll assess that in January. But give us six months and then hopefully maybe 12 months from that. You never know. We could be in the Championship and we could all move forward together as a team, as a player, as a coaching staff, everyone. Just stadium being built, bigger crowds. It's exciting times, isn't it?
I think the relationship with Villa must be pretty good, because otherwise he would have just gone back when he got injured, wouldn't he?
Yeah. They've obviously looked at the facilities that we've got and this and the other, and they've worked together, haven't they? Whether Barry's gone back to Villa to do his rehab or whether he stayed at the county, but they've obviously looked at the connection that we've both got and know that we've got the lad's best interest at heart, hence why we've kept him for the last few games. But I'm sure he'd be wanting to be part of it, though. A successful team, top of league, he'll be wanting to. And Villa will want that inbred into all their youngsters. Let's get a Championship winning player. You know, he's learning how to win, knowing how to win. That's going to stand him in good stead wherever he goes.
Because he's already been at Salford and MK Dons, so he knows how to lose.
obviously prefers playing in front of a crowd.
Excuse me one minute, boys. I'm just going to have to nip to little boys' room. 1 second.
Fair enough. Very good. So. It's good to see him back. I think he did look a bit laboured, didn't he? But you could expect that after being out for six months.
Can't believe off that shot though.
What? Sorry, which?
He fluffed his shot. He's like 1-on-1 with the keeper, wasn't he?
Oh shit! Yeah. I remember that now.
You've got to let him off for stuff like that, though, haven't you? It's like.
As I say, he's been out for 6 months. And I think Challenger said as well, it's the little sort of things of, like, mentally, isn't it? Just those little stepping blocks of, as you say, getting back from your injury, getting back on the grass, getting back to full training, and then being on the subs bench and coming on and playing for half an hour. So you can imagine, as I say, because he's still only a young lad, isn't he? So he's got a, but I think John Kieran said as well, he said, Barry himself has said, it's probably one of the best things he's done is given him that mental strength. But also, I think he said he's been working on bulking himself up a bit and getting a bit more muscle and strength inside him, which is you can't get if you're just basically playing once or twice a week. Yeah. So again, that hopefully that'll be a good thing. And as you say, if he plays any more for the rest of the season, it'd be absolutely brilliant. If he finds any of the form that he had at the beginning of the season, then it'll be absolutely brilliant.
I think it will. I think, obviously, joking aside, obviously, not putting that chance away, but he did look like he had that sharpness and fire in his belly, and because it was that ball that was played down the line that just went out. And if that stayed in, again, he was gone and he was already... to be sort of unleashed.
Yeah.
Imagine getting him back at our place on Saturday. That's just going to be...
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, the noise that will go off if he comes on or if he starts. I can't see him starting, but I think another 30 minutes and it certainly helps him out, doesn't it?
Yeah, totally. I think that's a wise option.
Yeah,
I don't want to annoy Villa. Keep Villa sweet. Keep him sweet.
Yeah, definitely. So, we're pretty much unless there's an absolute complete bottle job and disaster, we're basically promoted, aren't we? We're going to League One. Next one, obviously, I want to win the Championship now. I want to win the league. We've not won a league since 66, 67. So it'd be good to actually properly win it. 6 points needed from 4 games. Do we think that, looking at the teams that we've got,
it's done? I'm optimistic. I said it back in the last time I was on, and I said it then. We will win the league. It might not be. Well, I don't think it can be on Saturday, can it?
Yeah, it can.
Can it?
Because if
it's gone away,
Wrexham and Mansfield can both get to 88 points at the minute. If they lose, they can then only get to 85. And if we win, we're at 86. So there's a, I mean, Wrexham have got Forest Green at home, I think. They've got Forest Green anyway, and it's Mansfield MK Dons. So
that'll be a big one to see who gets into the automatics, won't it?
I don't know what I want more. Wrexham not to go up in autos or Mansfield to fluff it again like they do every year.
Well, it's looking more likely for Mansfield, isn't it?
Waggy, 66-67 is when we last won a league title. When England last won something, 66.
We have been promoted every season after England have either been to the minimum of a semi-final in a major competition. That's the one you want to know.
Oh.
So every time that we've got to the semi-finals, County have been promoted. I think this will be the only time that we won't, because we didn't have a tournament last year, did we?
No.
Last summer.
Well, we've got one, obviously, this year.
Yeah, we've got one coming up, but... If we get to the semi-finals, then we're in the championship at the end of next season.
We offer tickets to the Frankfurt to England Denmark, £300. Check some cheap flights out, Waggy. We're off, Andy. Come on, we're going. In the county banners, we're going.
Excellent. Yes.
That'll be awesome.
Yeah. It will, but I think I'm pretty sure that the championship will be wrapped up against Notts, because. I just feel that they concede too many goals. You know, they look good playing, don't they? And they can score, but the defence is leaky.
Like
so
a rusty gate.
Very, very squeaky. But I think, yeah, it's going to be done then, isn't it? It's got to be. You would expect, as I say, just as long as we don't do, as everybody says, as long as we don't do a County and leave it that we've got to get someone against Wrexham.
I can't.
I want that guard of honour before we go out. That's what I'm after.
I want nothing more than a friendly on our part. I just want it to be, you know, a kick around the park, so to speak. It'd be good if something's resting on them.
That'd be so sweet. We're knocking it about the park. Like, that'd be brilliant.
It could be sewn up first and second, because first and second both get trophies, don't they?
I
believe so. In this league, both first get, and the runners up get trophies. Then you get a trophy for winning the playoff final. You don't get anything for finishing third.
So how
are we going to get? Would we have the trophy before them? If we beat Notts, do we get the trophy presentation against Accrington after the Accrington game, or is it wait until after the last game of the season?
Don't you get it on the game that you get promoted or that you win the league?
So you mean against Notts?
Yeah.
So we'd get it at Notts.
I don't think there's any set rule, is there? No, I don't know. That's something maybe some viewers can maybe answer. I don't know if anyone in chat, but I don't know whether you... I don't know. That'd be brilliant in front of the home crowd, wouldn't it?
Yeah, against Accrington, last game of the season. Well, last home game of the season.
That'd I think given the choice, I'd like to get it at Wrexham.
<That'd> be... Getting Ryan Reynolds down, presenting it. Dressed as Deadpool.
brilliant. So no nervousness, nothing. We're over the line for promotion, and now championship. The win in the league is in the bag, basically. So what we're saying.
Who would you say is going up in the play? Say if the league finished today, and that's how the standing is. Who would you reckon? Would you favour going up in the playoffs as we speak?
Go on then. You go for it, Andy. So who do you want, and who do you think's favourite?
What are the current playoff? Four, for the top four to go up.
Yeah, so that, who do you want to, as it is now, the top three are up. Who's in the playoffs now as we speak? I can see the cogs going in on his head here. He's looking very evil.
For me, I think it would, up until last night, I'd have said Crawley because they've been in decent form. And I know they got beat last night, didn't they? But up to that point, they've been in really good form. And they've got, as you say, they've come sort of pretty much from nowhere. And for them to be one of the favourites to get relegated this season, let alone be anywhere near the top half or in the playoffs, for them to get into the playoffs and the momentum that they've got, I could see that them winning it, I think.
Yeah.
And I think Mansfield will still sneak third place.
I've just got the table up here, and all I can say is, anyone in them playoffs, just praying that Doncaster don't get in them, because the way they're playing at the moment, just praying and that they don't get
two points. They 2 points off. They've had 7 consecutive wins now, haven't they, Doncaster?
Yeah, 7. Yeah, I'm just looking at it now. They're only 4 behind, but 4 points behind. It's a lot to ask in at 4 points, especially with like 3 or 4 teams in between them. But you just got to pray that they don't get in, because if they get in, that's showing that they've won more games and they're going in on a massive form. But me looking at it, I'd like to say Barrow going up, but the thing is, it's just their ground. It just looks, and my mate Corner the other day said, the ground looks like the Catalina wine mixer. It looks like it should be holding functions rather than football matches, doesn't it? And it's just no, you can't
Barrow. I never want to go back there again.
It says a lot on the players and the management and everyone who's in trains in Manchester, but
Barrow. That's strange, isn't it? They all meet up there, don't they, on a Saturday and get the bus up. They all get bussed together from Manchester up for the game.
Yeah.
That's just like...
Well, you would do if you were living. Sorry.
No, but I mean...
I think I agree with you, Waggy. I think Crawley, just for the pure reason that last year when they were playing absolutely shocking, they came to our place, but they tried to play football. They actually tried to play. They didn't just sit 10 men behind the ball. And then again, this season, it's quite an entertaining game against them as well. So I think really, from where they've come from, 10 games ago, to now be in with that fighting chance, I'd give them a shout. But then you'd Crewe, you know, they've been up there all season. Well, I've got not Crewe. Crawley,
Barrow.
Yeah. And if Mansfield in there, not Mansfield.
Not Mansfield.
You could have a Crewe derby, though. That'd be the only reason why I want them to go up to another derby. Yeah. I'll try not get us locked up. That's a different podcast, though.
Yeah. Well, we're past Watershed. We're past 9 o'clock. So.
I had a nightmare. Some steward got heavy-handed with me and like pushed me and knocked a little kid over behind me. So I picked him up and they're like seagulls, aren't they? These bloody stewards like that. And next minute, he turned around. Some big lads behind me. They went, "Listen, mate, if you're going to throw him out, I suggest you go and get some more stewards." Honestly, God, it was the best moment. I was absolutely shit-faced. And he went, "If you're going to throw him out, I suggest you go and get some more stewards." So they just basically moved him from one side of the ground to the other. The little lad was crying his eyes out. I was like, anyway, different story.
Yep. Very good. Right then. Shall we do getting the rezzers?
I've had a couple of. Did anyone see as well on the someone changed on the Wikipedia page for Mansfield? Did anyone else see?
No, I've not seen what.
Someone changed them to Mansfield FC. It popped up just before I came online. I was like, "Oh my god!" Giggling my head off at this. Who comes up?
Someone sent it to me though, and I was working in the rain, so I looked at it, I was like, what? Why have they sent me a picture of the wiki page of Mansfield? So I actually had to ask him, what's different? And then he told me, I was like, oh my days.
Mansfield. Brilliant.
I've got a close friend who's a Mansfield season ticket holder as well, so I do like to throw the odd jibe in there with him, but yeah.
Fair enough.
Anyway, getting on to the reses, let's just sort of throw that in.
Right, let's play the
reses. Get in the reses. Get in the reses.
I'm not having that.
Get in the reses.
Get in reses.
Is it going to be your voice on there soon, Waggy?
I don't know. I don't know if when Russ comes back and sees these two episodes, I don't think I'll be back on again. So
now just booking his flight back home. I can't believe I've left it in charge of these absolute idiots.
So I'm struggling again. I'll have to have a think. But who wants to go first, Andy or Righty?
Andy, go on, you go.
Yeah, I'll go first. Mine is not really... I've got nothing to complain about at County at the moment. So it's sport-related. It mainly focuses... I'm a big F1 fan. And I know the other podcaster's not here anymore. He doesn't like F1. But replays. So you've just watched, and it does happen in football as well. So you've seen something live, a goal, an overtake in Formula One, and then they have to show the overtake that you've just watched live 15 times over in 15 different ways. You know, same with goals. You see the goal live, brilliant. You don't then need to see 15 times that ball going in the back of the net while the game's still going and you're missing. Yeah. And you see it loads of times where a split second's happened, the corner's been taken, and you're like, hang on a minute, it was a corner a minute ago. What's going on?
And a lot of the time you can hear the noise behind of the live game as they're showing the replay. And you can hear the crowd getting up and you're like, just put the game on, I want to see what's happening. I'm not interested in the replay.
Like, it's for people like Andy that when the stream goes down, that's what it is.
Yeah. I don't even get to see the replay.
Yeah. I think there's a problem, I'm not sure.
last night, Paddy Madden scored. Well, I presumed he scored because just as he tapped it in, stream went down, right?
Right.
Get it back up and running again. Yeah, I get to see the replay, and it happened at the same moment that it just went about, so I didn't hear that second goal at all. But yeah, just the replay. It winds me up so much in Formula One because, you know, something can happen in a split second, and they just constantly show it. And then they'll flip back to the start, you know, which was 50 laps ago. And you're going, what? Just show.
Yeah, show the live. Yeah. Yeah, definitely we can have that. That's going in the reses. Do you agree, Righty?
Absolutely. That's good. Yeah.
As well as Edgeley Post Office.
Brilliant. So go on then, Righty. So you got one.
Mine's quite simple. I think it was typified by yesterday when we played football teams that only have one chant or one song. Oh my god, it was like if the Japanese had thought of this through the World War, like another war torture, like instead of like thumbscrews, just someone singing one song consistently throughout a match, they'd have won the war. I swear to god, because for me, I felt like bashing my head off the wall. And it was only after about 30, 40 minutes in, I was like, oh my god, I've heard that song six times now or something from them. And I was like,
I must admit I didn't notice it. So go, what was the chant?
I should remember it. But I've tried to etch it so much out of my mind since it's took a couple of counselling sessions. No, I'm joking, but it drives with the wall. I think Everton are notorious for it as well. When I went to watch accounts against them,
I was going to say, they're just
Everton. Just change the tune. It's like having a radio. It's like having a radio and only having one station. It's like, this is really doing my thing now. I don't think passionately about this at all, by the way. And it was that.
That was almost like a waggy rant, that. So that's a righty rant.
Oh, mate, I was on one last night. And you know what? It was a close toss-up that between that and the hologram pitch that I was watching. So you can imagine my sensory overload.
Jesus.
My sensory overload with the hologram pitch and the one song. It was like, I can't believe this is going on. And then, the refereeing decisions. I was ready for blowing up, me, mate. I'm telling you.
How long did you sit in the darkened room afterwards for?
I was walking there. I need to get over it.
Writing numbers on the wall.
Brilliant. We'll have that. That's going in the reses. The only one that I can think of is like EFL highlights. Every TV show now obviously has to be sponsored by somebody, doesn't it? And the EFL is sponsored by, is that ClearScore? But they've only recorded like three little snippets that are supposed to be funny. So they're funny the first time you hear them, but every single ad break is the same one when it comes back. I think it goes back to sort of similar to what you've just said, Righty, is that it's just that monotony, isn't it? Why do they only have three edits of the funny little stories for the intro into each segment of the program? It just, the first time you hear it, you think, ah, ha, yeah, dead funny. And then the fourth time you've heard it, it's like, I've had enough now. I've had enough.
The cricket, that little sausage dog. That little sausage dog comes up with like, look. I know where you're coming from. Yeah, that drives me up the wall. Yeah, it's little dog.
Absolutely.
Dead funny about it's funny.
It's worse if you've recorded by ITVX, because you can't skip the adverts now unless you pay for it, which again, that is really, really annoying. So yeah, so that's my get in the reses.
Get in the reses.
Cool. Right, well, we've been over an hour, probably should have been an hour and 10 if we hadn't have had any technical difficulties. So do you guys have anything else to add, or should we wrap it up there?
No, obviously there was a song game, but it's all a very distant blur in my memory, so we'll just leave it there.
very good. Well, thank you all for listening, watching, whatever we was on. I don't think we made it onto YouTube, technical difficulties, so I can only apologise for that. Luckily, you'll be all glad to know is that Russ is back next week, so we're back to actually being professional. I might not be. I might be having to do a podcast on my own if I want to do anything county related. Hopefully and thankfully, I know he's on holiday at the minute, Russ, and he is out and about today. So I know he's not listening to this. He probably will listen back to it. So
I've been texting him, mate, already. So you're well and truly.
Cheers, Andy. Cheers, Righty. Cheers, all.
Nice one.
See you later.
Nice to meet you, mate. See you later.
Nice to meet you, mate.
Someone's broke. Not me this time.
This episode of the Scarth McGower War was written, recorded and produced by Russ Johnson and Nick Lee. The music on the opening titles was produced by Dan Johnson. Subscribe wherever you get your content, as well as finding out how to join the TSBW fan club. Check out the links in the description or go to all the W's, scarfbegalawar.co.uk.
Yep.